Hello and welcome to the podcast edition of Scripps 5 Must Know Things, this time for the business week ended 15th March 2024. This is Ian Haydock. This time, Galderma prepares to take on Dupixent, Pfizer's plans for Adcetris in DLBCL, Lilly's donanemab approval delayed again, the psychedelic R&D pipeline, and an interview with BMS's CDTO, Greg Myers. Galderma will launch its first ever therapeutic biologic in 2024, assuming US FDA approval is granted later this year, and presented long-term data at the American Academy of Dermatology meeting in San Diego, it believes will make the case for preferential use of its IL-31 receptor alpha inhibitor, nemolizumab, in prurigo nodularis, or PN, and in certain Dupixent-treated and naive patients with atopic dermatitis, or AD. Mandy Daxon writes the Swiss company has filed nemolizumab for approval in both indications in the US and the EU, and said on 14th February the FDA accepted its BLAs for review, granting priority review for PN. Galderma believes the data it presented at AAD on 10th March support first-line use of nemolizumab in its first launch indication. Mandy spoke with Christoph Piketty, who's global senior program head overseeing Galderma's nemolizumab R&D. The data presented at AAD came from the Olympia long-term extension study in PN, an ongoing 184-week trial that enrolled patients from the Phase 2 study and the Phase 3 Olympia 1 and 2 trials of nemolizumab, and from the maintenance phase of the Phase 3 Arcadia 1 and 2 trials in AD. Only one other systemic treatment is approved to treat PN, Sanofi and Regeneron's blockbuster anti-inflammatory, Dupixent, an IL-4-IL-13 inhibitor approved in 2022 for the severe skin disease. Dupixent's first and largest approved indication is AD. Another biologic may enter the US market for AD before nemolizumab if Eli Lilly can overcome a complete response letter issued by the FDA in October for the IL-13 inhibitor lebrikizumab. Leo Pharma's IL-13 inhibitor, tralokinumab, was approved as Adbry in the US and as Adtralza in the EU in 2021. Nemolizumab is the only one of the first four biologics for AD that addresses a unique target, but Lilly and its European partner Almirall believe they have a best-in-class opportunity with lebrikizumab, approved in the EU late last year as Ebglyss. Almirall has said that the drug is differentiated from Dupixent with potentially better efficacy and safety and with more convenient dosing of every 4 weeks instead of every 2 weeks. Nevertheless, Galderma's Piketty said, "I see a lot of space for nemolizumab because first of all, we know that there is more and more patients who will fail to respond to dupilumab, which is Dupixent. After responding initially, they have a failed response or they present a side effect like conjunctivitis. It's quite frequent at around 20%. So I think it's definitely a place for nemolizumab for patients who fail to respond or present a side effect associated with dupilumab, and it should be around 40 to 50% of the patients on nemolizumab," he said. While multiple new biologics for treating diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, or DLBCL, have come onto the market in recent years, Pfizer is highlighting data in the disease for Adcetris, a drug that originally received US FDA approval over a decade ago and was part of the drug maker's acquisition of original developer Seagen. On 12th March, Alaric Diarmant writes, Pfizer announced top-line results from the Phase 3 Echelon 3 trial, which showed the combination of Adcetris with the anti-CD20 antibody rituximab and the immunomodulating drug lenalidomide yielded statistically significant and clinically meaningful improvements on the primary endpoint of overall survival, as well as positive results on the key secondary endpoints of progression-free survival and overall response rate compared with rituximab, lenalidomide, and placebo. The 230 patients in Echelon 3 had received two or more prior lines of therapy and were not eligible to receive stem cell transplant or CAR T cell therapy. Notably, the results showed an improvement in patients irrespective of expression of CD30, the antigen target of Adcetris, which has high levels of expression in Hodgkin's lymphoma and other indications the antibody drug conjugate has FDA approval for, dating back to its original approval in 2011. Echelon 3's enrollment of patients ineligible for stem cell transplant or CAR-T cell therapy likely eliminates competition with CAR-Ts, assuming the results lead to a label consistent with the trial population. However, a number of newer agents for DLBCL have come onto the market in recent years that could be competitors to the ADCETRIS triplet combination in the third-line and transplant-ineligible settings should Pfizer secure approval in that indication. For example, in April 2021, the FDA gave accelerated approval to ADC Therapeutics' Zynlonta, a CD19-directed ADC for patients with third-line and later DLBCL. More recently, the FDA has given accelerated approval to CD20 x CD3 targeting bispecific antibodies for third-line and later DLBCL. AbbVie and Genmab's Epkinly received accelerated approval in May 2023, and Roche's Columvi got accelerated approval a month later. US FDA approval for Eli Lilly's donanemab has been delayed for a third time now that the agency has decided to convene a meeting of its Peripheral and Central Nervous System Drugs Advisory Committee, or PCNS, to discuss the Phase 3 Trailblazer ALZ2 trial results for the anti-amyloid antibody in early Alzheimer's disease. Lilly expected approval during the first quarter of 2024, but said on 8 March that this is no longer likely, Mandy Jackson writes. This is the third time that donanemab's approval has been pushed back, starting with the FDA's decision to issue a complete response letter in January 2023, rather than grant accelerated approval for the drug based on the Phase 2 Trailblazer ALZ clinical trial. Lilly filed for full traditional approval of donanemab in mid-2023 based on Trailblazer ALZ2 and expected a decision in the fourth quarter of last year. However, a second delay came when the company said, while reporting third quarter earnings in November, that the FDA decision would occur in Q1 of this year because the agency needed more time to review the BLA. Lilly said the FDA wants to convene the PCNS to further understand topics related to evaluating the safety and efficacy of donanemab, including the safety results in donanemab-treated patients and the efficacy implications of the unique trial design of the Trailblazer ALZ2 study, including its limited duration dosing regimen that allowed patients to complete treatment based on an assessment of amyloid plaque and the inclusion of participants based on tau levels. One of donanemab's potentially differentiating features is that physicians may be able to treat early Alzheimer's patients until they achieve clearance of amyloid from the brain and then stop treatment, eliminating safety risks such as ARIA or amyloid-related imaging abnormalities. Nearly half of Trailblazer ALZ2 participants completed their course of treatment in 6 or 12 months, while Leqembi from Eisai and Biogen is dosed chronically. Lilly noted that while it enrolled the Phase 3 trial's 1,736 participants based on PET assessments of tau staging, donanemab-treated patients responded to treatment regardless of tau levels. However, patients in earlier stages of Alzheimer's disease, meaning individuals with lower levels of tau, experienced the strongest results. Leqembi's label requires patients to have an MRI prior to initiating treatment and before the 5th, 7th and 14th infusions of the drug to monitor for ARIA, so similar safety monitoring for donanemab would offer opportunities for assessing amyloid levels and whether continued treatment with the drug is actually needed. ARIA was observed at slightly higher levels in Lilly's Trailblazer ALZ2 trial of donanemab than in the Clarity AD pivotal trial for Leqembi, but amyloid clearance was greater. We think the decision to hold a meeting isn't a signal that the FDA is holding serious concerns over product profile, Wells Fargo analyst Mohit Bansal said in a note. Safety on ARIA could be a topic where the panel is slightly more critical than their evaluation of Leqembi. Outside of this, we'd highlight the primary reasons for the meeting, intermittent dosing, tau burden, as having label implications that the agency may still be sorting out, Bansal said. In a fully infographic and interactive article on the pipeline of psychedelic drug-based therapies in development, Bridget Silverman looks at the status and origins of these products. For example, major depressive disorder accounts for around 20% of clinical trials with such drugs, and overall across all indications, most psychedelic therapies are currently at the Phase 2 stage. Overall, the infographic notes, there are 39 programs across 15 indications in development. Given the infographic nature of the article, take a look at it in full for all of the details and a full listing of drugs in development, indications and sponsors. Finally, there's a lot going on at Bristol-Myers Squibb as it seeks to integrate new technology into various applicable business elements, from early stage research to clinical trials, manufacturing and all the way to commercialization. In an interview with Scripps' Andrew Gangurdy, Greg Myers, who's BMS's Executive Vice President and Chief Digital and Technology Officer, outlined how the major US firm is using data and technology to simplify and accelerate the clinical research process, and also touched upon generative artificial intelligence use cases that the company is excited about. Our mission is to uncover hidden patterns and insights from complex multimodal data using advanced machine learning techniques to develop faster, safer, and more effective drugs, Myers stated. Those data, backed with proper consents and authorizations, could come from different sources, including clinical trials, large real-world datasets from hospitals and other medical systems, where information from patients receiving similar medicines to the ones being tested in the company's clinical trials can be gleaned, and also publicly available data that can be leveraged for additional insights, he explained. About 30% of the world's data volume is currently estimated to be generated by the healthcare industry. The refinement of that data and being able to provide meaning to it, how you translate and refine that data into information that can connect together, is probably the biggest challenge that we face in the industry, Myers had earlier said in Technovation, a podcast for IT and technology hosted by Peter High. Myers asserted to Scripps that as the world generates more and more real-world data, BMS stands at the forefront of identifying highly targeted therapies by interrogating these large datasets, leveraging AI and machine learning to elucidate the complex relationships between disease biology and novel molecular compounds. This is a trend that is already underway, he said. Take, for example, non-small cell lung cancer. There is a specific genetic mutation which about 14% of all patients have. This mutation causes the production of one amino acid to be replaced with another, which causes the unregulated growth of this particular type of cancer. We have a therapy currently in development that is designed to target this specific mutation, Myers pointed out. He also touched upon the exponential advances in terms of power and sophistication that AI programs are making, and how BMS expects to leverage these technologies at various stages of the drug development process. Supply chain resilience is another focus area, and deploying predictive technologies, analytics appears to be where things are heading. For example, Myers indicated that the company was leveraging generative AI and machine learning tools in the early drug discovery process to shorten optimization times of potential drug candidates and drive the highest quality molecules in the early development pipeline. We are deploying this technology in the protein degradation space as we build upon our legacy and scientific expertise in this field, Myers stated. That's all for this week. Many thanks for listening. All the stories mentioned here are linked in the description below and form only a small part of Scripps' global biopharma industry coverage last week. If you're a subscriber, log in to access all of our content or take out a free trial to see what you're missing. Bye for now.